His mother died when he was 7 years old. He remembered her as someone that was always sick, but regardless of being sick, made a little boy sat at his mother's knee and memorized Bible verses and hymns. After her death, he was moved from boarding school to boarding school, and when he was old enough, he went to sea. He wanted to live a good life, but it seemed the harder he tried, the deeper and deeper he went into sin. He was drafted into the British Navy, deserted, was captured, flogged, and thrown into prison. As he talked about his life at that point, his thoughts vacillated between murder and suicide. And he wrote, "I was capable of almost anything." He got his own ship, became a captain, and went out and lived a life at sea. On the night of March the 9th, 1748, this 23-year-old sea captain was jolted awake by a brutal storm. And just like we talked about a few weeks ago from Acts chapter 27, all hope was gone that any of them could be saved. The next day, on March the 10th, he cried out to the Lord, and he prayed the same prayer that Peter prayed when he tried to walk on water and took his eyes off Christ and began to sink. He prayed a simple three-word prayer, "Jesus, save me. Jesus, save me." He later wrote about that day. He said, "The 10th of March is a day much remembered by me, and I have never suffered it to pass unnoticed since the year 1748. The Lord came from on high and delivered me out of deep waters." This man became a powerful gospel preacher, and he wrote hundreds of hymns. One day he was studying the text that Adam read a moment ago about where God told David that he was not going to allow him to build the temple, but that he was going to have a son, and his son would build that temple. And as we read, "And David the king came and sat before the Lord and said, 'Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that thou hast brought me here hitherto?'" And this preacher got on his knees and he said, "God, I have the same question. I'm a wretched sinner. I walked away from the teachings of my mother. I did things in my life that I'm embarrassed even to think about now. Who am I that you would do all the things that you have done for me?" The year was 1779. This 54-year-old preacher got a piece of paper and an ink, he got a bottle of ink and a quill, and he wrote a hymn entitled Faith's Review and Expectation. Faith's Review and Expectation. It became his most famous hymn. It was beloved. It is beloved by many, many Christians, and it was Brother Duane's favorite hymn. We don't know it by that title, Faith's Review and Expectation. We know it by the title, Amazing Grace. The preacher was a man by the name of John Newton. That hymn is 231 years old this year, and the grace that it talks about is older than the foundation of the earth. But this morning, I want to remind you that God's grace is still amazing. God's grace is still amazing. It's still amazing, number one, because it's still saving wretched sinners. You see, only the sinner and God knows how wretched they are. You don't know my sin, and I don't know your sin, but I know this. I know the Bible is true when it says in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags." And if we were honest with ourselves, we would say like Paul did in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, when he said, "Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul said, look, I know every one of us is a sinner. He wrote in the book of Romans, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He wrote in the book of Romans, there's none righteous, no, not one. And Paul would say, I know that we're all sinners. But he says, if I put myself on a scale and compare myself to everybody else, I'm the worst one. And Christ Jesus came into the world to save me. That sin had a price, and that price is spiritual death, separation from God. And I asked myself the question this morning, who am I that God would send his son to die in my place? Who am I that Jesus would take all my sin upon himself and go to an old rugged cross and pay the price of my sin? Who am I that God would love me that much to do that for me? I'm a nobody. I'm a wretched sinner. There's nothing about me that deserves what God did for me on Calvary's cross. There's nothing that I can do to earn it. There's nothing that I can do to pay it back. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Grace. Grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace, grace, unmerited favor. Grace, grace, God giving us something that we in no way deserve. Who am I? Who am you? Who are you? It's amazing that God would love us that much. That he would send his son to die in our place. David wrote about it in the Psalms, Psalm chapter 8. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? David, as he looked up into the heavens and he saw everything that God had made and put into place, and then he considered himself and he said, God, what are we? We're so small in comparison to you, in comparison to your great created work. Who are we that you would even think about us and visit us? We're nothing. So it's still amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. It's still amazing because it's still saving wretched sinners. It's still amazing, number two, because it's still getting us through the many dangers, toils, and snares of life. Job said in chapter 14, verse 1, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. And life is full of trouble. We lose those that we love. I know they go on to heaven, but we still miss them. We miss them a lot, and it hurts. We get sick, and we have to fight cancer and aneurysms and diseases that I can't even say the name of. And they're not respective of person. They hit the old as well as the young and everybody in between. Our children make bad choices, and they have to pay the consequences, and it breaks our hearts. Relationships that are meant to last a lifetime break and dissolve. And yet, God cares. He cares. The Bible never promises us that we'll live a life free of trouble, but it does promise us that we have a God who cares and knows and will go with us through that trouble. In Psalm chapter 9, the Bible said, the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. Psalm 27, for in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. In Psalm chapter 32, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Psalm 37, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And in Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. And what the psalmist was saying, this world can fall apart. The earth can move and the mountains can be cast into the sea. But he says, I'm not going to be afraid. What he's saying, my world can be turned upside down and things that were solid in life are no longer solid and things happen and we get sick and people that we love get sick and we lose loved ones and all the troubles that are part of life. And what the psalmist was saying is, I'm not going to be afraid because God is my help. Help, and I am going to depend on him. And why? Who am I? And who are you that God would care that much? Who are we that he would love us enough? I mean, the creator of the universe, the one that holds it all together. Who are we that he would care enough to know what's going on in our life and to be there to help us and to be there to guide us and to be there to help us get through? Newton said it like this: through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. It's still amazing. It's still saving wretched sinners. It's still getting us through many dangers, toils, and snares. And number three, it's still amazing because it still leads us home. Still leads us home. Jesus said in John chapter 14, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's what happened to Brother Dwayne on Friday afternoon. He'd been in hospice for a couple weeks, and he was in a place that was just right down the street from where I live. And so the last couple weeks, whenever I passed by, I just stop in, pull in, and visit with him for a little bit. Friday, we had our first meeting of our senior group. We got done here at the church about 2:30, and I was on my way home. And again, I was going right past, and so I just said, oh, I'm just going to stop in for a minute and visit with him for a second. And I got there about, I don't know, 10 till 3, 5 minutes till 3, something like that. And he was sleeping when I got there, but I spoke loudly to him, said, hey, Brother Dwayne, preacher, how you doing? He opened his eyes just for a little bit like that and looked at me. Jean and Cindy, their daughter, had gone home for lunch and to rest a little bit, so I was there by myself. And I just sat down on the couch that was beside his bed, just to pray a little bit, see if he'd wake up. And about 10 minutes after 3, he took a deep, deep breath and then didn't take another one. And I couldn't see it physically, but I could see what happened in my mind. Jesus came, said, Brother Dwayne, got your place ready in heaven. It's all done. Time to go home. Come on. I'll lead you. I'll lead you. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Lead me home. Who is Brother Dwayne? He's a good man, a man I love with all my heart. But he was a wretched sinner, just like you and me. It's amazing that Jesus would come and lead us wretched sinners home to a place prepared by him for us. And so this morning, Brother Dwayne's celebrating his first Sunday in heaven. But it'll be one of many, because you know the last verse as well as I do. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first began. Who am I? Who are you? We are nothing compared to God. We are wretched sinners. All our righteousness is as unfilthy rags. But God loved you and me enough to send his son to die on Calvary's cross to pay for every one of our sins. You know, John Newton wrote another verse that's not in our hymn books, not in many hymn books. It's not as familiar as the rest of them are, but this verse goes like this. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine, but God who called me here below shall be forever mine. Forever mine. It will be soon. One day this earth will pass away, and life as we know it on this earth will be no more. Are you ready? Are you ready? Jesus can get you ready if you'll let him. He can. He'll save every single person that comes and asks him to. Never known of one case that he's turned away. I've known some people that have waited too long and the Holy Spirit quits calling and they don't come. But as the Holy Spirit calls and you respond to that call, I've never known anybody that came to Christ for salvation that he turned away. And so I offer to you this morning that gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Not because of who you are. I didn't get it because of who I was or am. I got it because there's a God in heaven that loves me. And there's a God in heaven that loves you. And if you'll ask him to, he'll save you this morning. He'll get you ready for heaven. He's the only one that can do it. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for it this morning. Thank you that for that amazing grace. Thank you that one day many of us in this room this morning heard the sweet, sweet sound of it, and we responded, and we came to Christ and asked him to save us. Father, I pray for those that are here that don't have that assurance. They don't know for sure that heaven is their home. They don't know for sure because they've never asked Jesus to save them. I pray this morning you'd help them see that they're a sinner. Help them see that Jesus paid for their sins. And Father, help them understand that if they would come and ask Jesus, he would save them. Maybe a teenager, maybe an adult. Father, you know our hearts. We can't hide from you. We can hide from each other, but we can't hide from you. And so I pray that you would convict us of our sin this morning. Convict those that don't know Christ of their need for a Savior. Help them to come in just a second as we sing. And let us take the Bible and from the Bible show them how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. Bless this time of invitation. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.